Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome back. My name is Kit.
And I'm Steve.
And this is Streaming Things, a podcast about TV and film. It's a little bit irreverent. Some might say utterly stupid, but I don't truck with
Objection.
Those folks.
Objection.
Sustained.
On what grounds is Streaming Things considered stupid?
Sophomoric misogyny, 4 stars. That's a classic review of
classic.
Our show. However, today we're talking about My Cousin Vinny. We do a little thing on our Patreon where there's a certain tier that people are able to mandate that we watch certain movies. That is what has happened here. We are talking about My Cousin Vinny from 1992, I think.
Oh, you got it, man. 92.
Nailed it.
Right off the top of the dome.
And I'm excited to talk about this movie. I had not seen it since I was a wee tot. And revisiting it was quite fun. You can support the show financially at patreon.com/streamingthings, along with all of those other many wonderful folks. Join the Discord family, all kinds of cool stuff. But if you can't do that, you can't afford it, or you just don't want to, I understand on both those grounds. You can just rate and review the show wherever you're listening to this. Email the show at streamingthingspod@gmail.com. Send us some kind words or mean ones. Nah, don't do that. My mental health is always very low anyway.
It's hanging by a thread.
It's
always dangling.
It's barely there. SAG Awards were last night.
I know.
I thought I was a lock for a win for lowest hang, even though the competition was stiff. I just wanted to say that.
Nice. That was good. That was good. I like that one.
Thank you. And I laughed at it.
Which makes it even better.
Even though I said it.
Hey, your mental health needed that.
But it did.
Yeah.
It did.
Yeah.
You can go to streamingthingspod.com and look forward. If you're listening to this, you've already heard that we started a Star Wars series that dropped on Monday.
Yes.
With friend of the show, Phil.
I hope you all like it.
Star Trek alumnus, Phil himself.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be covering at least 11 of the main 11 Star Wars films over the next coming weeks, and then starting our Fallout coverage. So that's just what's on the slate.
It's coming up. It's a lot of big things happening in Streaming Things world. So buckle in. It's going to be a lot of fun once Star Wars is like the first step into a much larger world. And that is the content schedule for the rest of the year.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. And we're going to South by Southwest soon. So there'll be lots of good stuff happening there. And if you're a patron member, you get to hear our coverage of Black Swan this week as well. The final winner of multiple polls.
Yep.
I mean, that was a close race. It was like Oscars up there between Ghost.
That was the closest race we've ever had in a Patreon poll.
I think we need to do something special for our patrons. Maybe dress up like swans and do the pottery wheel from Ghost or something. Just kind of combine it.
Maybe. I don't know how we're going to do that.
We don't have a pottery wheel.
I mean, it's already been released by the time you're hearing this, so who knows if we follow through on that. Yeah, hope it was good. Hope it was good.
I just mean sometime this year, just randomly, like in August.
Okay.
Me and you nude swans pottery wheel.
Yeah.
Or just like Play-Doh, whatever we can get.
Well, you know, if the poll was initially supposed to be closed earlier in the week, but it was a tie, so we had to keep the poll open. If Black Swan had won, or if Ghost had won at that point, we would have had time to go out and get necessary materials to dress up for the episode.
Do something.
We didn't have time.
I barely had time to watch the shit. But that's what's on the Patreon. And we've got a bunch of good stuff coming up, like Starship Troopers, Moneyball, Grand Budapest Hotel, Spirited Away, in addition to our Star Wars coverage. So that's what the coming weeks look like for longtime fans. That's stuff to look forward to. But today, Steve, we're talking about My Cousin Vinny, as I said. I'm curious to know what your history with this film is and what it was like watching it this time. But before we do that, there's a little bit of a controversy about this film that I think you're somewhat aware of.
Yes.
Marissa Tomei, queen herself, Yas Queen.
Yas.
She won an Oscar for her portrayal in this movie. And that was somewhat controversial at the time. She was a very young, up-and-coming actress, and she was up against titans at the time, Judy Davis, Joan Plowright, Vanessa Redgrave, and Miranda Richardson. So people were a little shocked and a little upset, even a little sipping that haterade that she won. But
who's this harlot coming into our stuffy, crusty award ceremony and sweeping the legs underneath Judy Davis? Who is this?
And why she's so pretty?
Why you gotta be so pretty?
Why you making me feel weird? I like men. I think that's what they were thinking. Mm-hmm. However, also she was presented the award by Jack Palance, who was ancient at the time. And there was this insidious rumor. It's so dumb. And I learned about this on TikTok like 2 years ago, where he was kind of had dementia and or was bad at reading or a combination of those things. And like they kind of analyzed the video and said, you can tell that he looks confused when he looks down and just says the most recent name that had come out of his mouth, which was Marissa Tomei. And that everybody just let it slide and let her get the, which is the, I'm sorry to everybody who likes this rumor, the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. Mm-hmm. It's so silly that the Academy would allow that. Basically,
Look what happened, you know, just a couple years ago
with the Moonlight La La Land thing. Yeah. That's essentially what they're saying happened, but instead of correcting it, they just let it go rather than let themselves be embarrassed.
Yeah.
And I saw it was like a big media creator on TikTok telling this story, like a blue check, you know, and she followed me at the time. And I was very like new on this, on the platform and was like really excited to have a big follower. And I commented, this is really silly. Don't take that from Marissa Tomei. She got an Oscar. Like that's but I was nice about it. I didn't say this is fucking dumb, which is what I wanted to say. But I was like, this is kind of silly. She got the Oscar. She unfollowed me over that.
Oh, dang.
Yeah. Like don't. Shit on my sauce.
Miranda Richardson deserved better. Monster.
So I think that's kind of funny though.
And I love the fact that people like analyze the footage. Like, let's watch this old man. Oh, he looks confused. Probably because just like you, the other stuffy old people were like, the young person won?
I mean, I'm sure there was an element of where am I? Or I shit myself.
That's me literally day to day.
Yeah, since my 20s.
I shit myself now.
Yeah, stop, please. He keeps blaming it on the dogs.
Pippin, stop.
Stop. Why does it stink in the studio?
Pippin, you're over across the room. Stop.
I didn't do it.
Please quit. Chris, kid, take me home.
Daddy has IBS and blames it on me. I did that once. Did I ever tell you that story about when I had Mason when he was an infant? I went to visit my fiance at the time's like great aunt who was like in her 90s, and she has this like beautiful old home and like, you know, stuff since the 19th century is everywhere, you know, and I'm like, wow. And I farted and it was horrendous. And this lady walks in and she's like, I think you better check Mason's diaper. And everyone knew I farted, like, you know, my mother-in-law and we're all like, yeah, better get him out of here and check the old diaper. I crop dusted this old lady and blamed it on a baby.
So Mason is your family's Marissa Tomei.
That's right.
An older person gave him credit for something they shouldn't have.
Yeah, sure. I like your way to stretch it there. So yeah, that's the history of how this movie landed. It's interesting to think too that this like Joe Pesci was coming out with Goodfellas pretty much at the same time.
Well, yeah, he apparently the scene where he's in prison sleeping and he's smiling because he can sleep in prison, I guess. Mm-hmm. They filmed that the day after he returned with the Oscar for winning.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And like, apparently he brought it to set and was like showing it. People like, imagine Joe Pesci. You're like, look at this thing I just won. Like, how fun would that be?
Yeah. It's fucking crazy.
It's great. They gave it to me.
And then I get in a movie where Marissa Tomei is my girlfriend.
Wild.
Which would never happen.
I'm like 50. She's 27.
Oh, well,
that's Hollywood, baby.
Hey,
I can't wait to try to kill a kid in Home Alone,
which is also coming up soon.
Yeah,
he was on a wild run.
Yeah, he was.
Anyway, this is
like peak Joe Pesci time.
So, Steve, had you been a fan of this movie? And if so, well, regardless, what was it like watching it this time?
So I have definitely seen this movie many, many years ago, I was a child. I probably saw it like around 94, around that time. So
the age of Jack Palance.
Yes, the age of Jack Palance. And so needless to say, I didn't remember hardly any of it. I remember the Utes thing, but that's mostly because I kind of adopted that when I was working at the movie theater. Like I had a friend, she actually listened to the show. Her name's Stacy. She was a manager of the movie theater that I worked for at one point. And she would always like when like a new movie for teenagers, like a horror film, like a PG-13 horror film that would come out, we would get these like parents would just dump their teenagers that can't drive yet. They're like, oh no, here come the Utes. Like that was just a thing. Like, so we always would say, we quote that part, but I really didn't remember much of this movie at all. So I might as well have been watching it for the first time, really. And so sitting down and watching it yesterday was just, this is just such a great movie. Like, it's just so fun. There's really hardly nothing in it to like pick apart. It's really well written. Mm-hmm. Like in a surprising way, there are things that come back that you're like, oh, they totally set that up. And I didn't even realize they were setting a thing up. That's awesome. And the performances are funny. Joe Pesci's great. Marissa Tomei is awesome.
Exactly
in
what
it.
You're talking about too.
This was the last movie to feature Fred Gwynne, who plays the judge. Herman Munster from the Munsters. He's Don't Go Up That Road from Pet Sematary.
Yeah.
Which I love this guy. And I was really sad to hear that this was the last movie that he was in before he sadly passed away. Because he's just this tall, giant, baritoned man. And just seeing him like, what are you wearing, sir? So like in that little Southern accent that he spits out. Oh, I love that guy. But yeah, this movie from top to bottom is an absolute success. A lot of great people from the 90s show up. Ralph Macchio. Totally forgot that he was in this movie. So when he showed up, I'm like, because in the wide shot when they're like driving their car, there's the wide shot. And I'm like, okay, my cousin Vinny is driving. Wait, that's not Joe Pesci. Who the fuck? Oh my God. The Karate Kid. I forgot he was in this. So absolute joy to watch through. What did you think about My Cousin Vinny?
I love this movie. I love it so much. I think by judging on Letterboxd, more than most of the Utes and the Mutes, I guess. I remember watching this movie a lot on TV as a kid in pieces, you know, especially the third act. My dad was a big fan. So we'd always just kind of be clicking through the channels and stop if it was My Cousin Vinny through a certain part. But it's same as you. I hadn't seen it in its entirety in, you know, 15, 20 years. So I was really actually excited to revisit it. And it held up. Like you said, I think it's a very tight script, incredible performances. I definitely did not recall that the Karate Kid was in this. And I'm glad that, because I'm a big fan. I didn't say a big fan, but I'm a fan of Cobra Kai, the TV show. Mm-hmm. And seeing, you know, Ralph Macchio in something other than Cobra Kai or the Karate Kid doesn't happen a lot for me.
You're
so
like, what? You like, in movies?
He's out of his element. So that was really interesting. And I just had such a blast watching this movie. And it's like, I mean, Marissa Tomei is like, gosh, she definitely deserves that Oscar. My entire review on Letterboxd was just Marissa Tomei, 4.5 stars. And like, everybody was like, same, you know, like it was like, what a talented, charismatic, energetic, just gorgeous person, you know, it's just like star.
Yeah, she shares the frame with Joe Pesci in much of this movie, and like
he's only in the bottom half.
Yeah, he's definitely in the bottom half. But every time she's in the camera lens, you're just like her. She's rocking this role. She's great in it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I wish the movie. I you know, there was rumblings that they would make a sequel, like more My Cousin Vinny's after this.
My Husband Vinny.
But I kind of would love to see that, only because I want to see Mona Lisa a more prominent role. Like he finally like gives her, because a lot of this movie is like, hey, you stupid, go away. I can't help you. I'm Vinny. I know what I'm doing.
That's the big turn, is that he allows her to help him. And she does everything. And she studied the entire law book. I mean, she does everything in this movie.
Yeah, he is successful because of her. Mm-hmm. And I really want to see more. I would love to see, even if it was a spinoff of, you know, Vinny's dead now.
Exactly.
And Mona Lisa is getting her law degree because she was the brains behind the operation, but there's still some misogyny maybe that she has to break through a glass ceiling.
Most
to get
likely.
Through. Yeah, definitely.
Here, I'll write the movie for you, Hollywood. It's called My Ex-Husband Vinny. You don't. He doesn't have to be dead. Maybe that's rude because Joe Pesci's alive, but he's just really old. Mm-hmm. So just say, my ex-husband, Vinny, and it's all about Mona Lisa. And it's like a Reacher thing where she's in a different small town and gets wrapped up in a different case she's not involved in. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen the show Reacher, but it's like a thing.
He's like a traveling
road show of a man.
Yeah.
But Marissa Tomei could do that now. I'm in. I'll buy tickets.
I'll sign up right now.
I'll buy Steve one. That's two tickets sold.
Yeah.
My ex-husband, Vinny. Do you like my idea?
I love your idea.
Thank you.
Let's watch it right now.
Okay, I can't
wait to get the popcorn bucket.
We can go sweet it ourselves. Can I be Marissa Tomei?
Yes. Yes, I would prefer. I would prefer that.
You get to be my ex-husband, Vinny.
Okay.
But anywho, so you're not in the movie. you can direct. This was directed. What was his name? What was his fucking
Jonathan
name?
Lynn.
Yeah, he hasn't done much. A bunch of TV. A Whole Nine Yards is the only thing I know of for Clue. Sure. He did Clue? Wait. He did Clue!
Yeah. He's the writer of Clue.
I didn't
Clue
scroll
as well.
Down hard enough.
Yeah.
Here's something I don't so tell people about
of,
me.
Not a lot of great movies, but you got Clue and Whole Nine Yards
people
in there.
People fucking love Clue.
Yeah.
What are you Clue's, talking about?
No, I'm saying that's what I was saying. He hasn't done a lot of good movies except for Clue and Whole Nine Yards and this.
And My Cousin Vinny. But then also, don't forget, don't sleep on Nuns on the Run.
Sergeant Bilko.
What about The Distinguished Gentleman? What about Fighting Temptation? Okay, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
I've never seen Clue. That's something I don't tell a lot of people.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. People fucking fuck with Clue so heavy.
Clue is a good time.
I like a good time, too, so that's weird. I'm a fan of good times.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's break it down.
Let's break it down.
My Cousin Vinny, scene by scene, best as we can. It opens with two New Yorkers in a Buick. Cruising. I'm going to do the whole show like this, by the way. Somebody's getting soaked, I can imagine.
Ooh, who's selling the papes?
Soak them. And my note is, oh shit, it's Karate Kid. We get this whole discussion. They're shopping for some snacks. Beans make you fart, right? Like they're apparently low on funds. They're trying to be
frugal
about the snacks that they get, you know?
Yeah, it's Billy and Stan, right?
Yeah.
Billy is the Karate Kid.
Beans got protein.
But they also make you fart. We got a convertible.
Yeah, it's fine. It's out.
It's fine. We add out.
I'm getting tuna.
I love the way they paint this town because everything about this town is small town, folksy, right? That's a given. But then if you go into any of the interiors that isn't the courthouse, every place is fucking disgusting. Mm-hmm. Like there's a shot of him pouring of the attendant who gets murdered at some point. He's filling their cup with a slushy. And it's like, dude, that thing has been cleaned maybe ever.
The slushy machine.
It's disgusting. And then later on when they get grits from the guy who only serves lunch, breakfast, and dinner, if you look at his back walls, those have never been cleaned ever as well. It's just kind of fun. And apparently the Sack of Suds place that they're at is an actual operating business that supposedly is still around.
Oh, it's like the little gas station. In Bama? Was it on location?
No. They filmed in it is on location, but they were actually, I think, filming in Georgia, not Alabama.
Mm. They were in the South.
Yeah.
With the Utes.
Yeah. Somewhere where you could definitely have dirt for sale or free horse manure. Some of the signs that they're driving.
What are they doing? They're from Jersey, New York. Why are they driving around the South?
They're sowing those wild oats.
Just cruising?
I don't know.
Just cruising?
I guess they're doing a young person's, hey, let's go travel.
But he's got so many snacks, he can't fit the tuna in his pile of snacks. So he puts it in his pocket, goes up to the counter, pays for everything, forgets the tuna in his pocket. They're driving along the road. He realizes he stole the tuna, which is probably 62 cents max.
Yeah, you know? 1993 money.
Woo boy. But I mean, he feels kind of bad about it, you know, but at that moment, he realizes a cop is following them. And they're like, oh shit, it's for the, and you know, they're paranoid because they stick out like a sore thumb. They realize that people don't like them around here. That's why the cops are following us as well, right? They get pulled over. The cop pulls a fucking shotgun on him immediately. Yeah. And he's like, whoa,
get
whoa,
on
whoa.
The ground.
And I like you, I kind of forgot even huge plot points of this movie. So even though I wasn't aware that he thought these kids murdered somebody, and I was still like, accurate.
Hey, I've been to Alabama before. Accurate. Yeah.
But gas station guy, Jimmy Willis, was shot dead. And our poor protagonists are like, yeah, we'll sign a statement saying we did it, you know, thinking it's about the tuna. And it's kind of the comedic tension of this next couple scenes is that they're unaware of what's really
going on.
So they say crazy shit like, yeah, I did it. You know,
I love the guy who plays the sheriff, Bruce McGill. He's one of those actors that's just like in fucking everything.
He's
that guy.
Teague, much like Teague. He just pops up everywhere. Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, there's this like back and forth where they're interviewing Bill and he's like, kind of like, oh yeah, I did. It was a stupid thing to do. Yeah. And then they cut to Stan who's like, I mean, I wasn't there. He just did it. It's like, oh, so you aiding and abetting.
Sure, I guess. Why didn't you stop? He's my friend, you know? And it's but really funny.
At no point did anyone ever say, hey, you're being arrested for the murder of Jimmy Willis. Mm-mm. They just threw him in the car and drove him to the station and asked him why they did it.
But every time they talk to Bill, he's just jibber-jabbing, digging his own grave. Because again, he's not fully aware of what's going on here. The boys get reunited. And at this point, they realize it's murder they're being accused of. Well, I'm being accused of murder. You're being accused of aiding and abetting murder. I'm calling my mother. And
do you know any great lawyer? Ma!
I'm not doing good, Ma.
They're trying to set us up as patsies, Ma. They all Klansmen. They sleep with the sisters.
I love Stan's over there. Yeah. They sleep with this. And he looks over and most of yous do. And then the mother suggests, I got a good lawyer for you. Your cousin Vinny's a lawyer.
Yeah.
He just passed the bar. So anyway, Vinny rolls up in Alabama. My note is Marissa Tomei. Oh my God. Ignore that. Bonk. He tells, and then he tells her she sticks out like a sore thumb around here. He's got those like, I got cowboy boots.
At least I'm wearing cowboy boots.
He's trying to fit in.
I bet the Chinese food is terrible.
Yeah, it's not wrong.
Will you stop talking about the Chinese food?
She knows everything about cars. They set that up. They also set up, there's one of two setups for the mud thing here. I don't know. I think the mechanic guy gave me the vibe of kind of like a predatory, like trying to get them to pay for a service they don't really need, you know, but also it's a good discussion about how much mud there is around there. Then they get stuck in it later. And then it's of course the linchpin of like the whole
trial. I think you're right where that guy's kind of supposed to come off as a little predatory and
these old city slickers.
Vinny is supposed to see right through him and kind of like fuck around with him.
Yeah,
it sets up that he like doesn't put up with bullshit at all.
They know a lot about cars.
Yeah. And she also knows about a lot about cars. Yeah. Mm-hmm, yes.
Mm-hmm. Then the boys are heading to prison, which is weird because like you go to jail until you're sentenced. Not you don't go to prison. Maybe for murder you do, or maybe in certain states it's different. Doesn't matter. It's a movie. Yeah, it's a movie. They go to prison.
They do some really cool world building where as they're going into prison, and for a couple times when Vinny and Mona Lisa go, there's a bunch of protesters outside who are protesting. I guess there's this guy named Norton who's on who's on death row and is going to get the chair. They're going to pump enough electricity in him to take out electricity in the whole county.
Well, that's part of why the script is so brilliant. Is it just hammers home the fact that they do execute a lot of people. So many that even some of the locals are like, we got to stop killing so many people.
Yeah.
And so these kids are really like at risk of a real life death penalty, you know, for being... Which is why the death penalty is wrong, because sometimes we sentence the innocent person. Just want to throw that out there.
I agree. also, costs too much money.
From a practical perspective?
Well, I was trying to appeal to the people who are like, nah, kill them. Because if you come at them with that, they might be like, I guess you're right.
Meet them where they're at.
Yeah.
I understand.
Yeah. Also, it's morally wrong.
But in addition to the money... So anyway, he's in Bama. He's there to help. By the way, it's all pro bono. You know, he just drove all the way down there. I think about that a lot watching this movie. I'm like, he spent a lot of money on hotels and stuff. Probably doesn't have much money. Just
past the bar. Yeah,
he's been working in a garage and stuff, right? She's using traveler's checks. What are you, a fucking world traveler? I love that shit. The boys are in prison. Stan's worried about being somebody's sex slave. Yeah. That's a thing, right? So then when Vinny goes to visit the boys,
I love this scene.
He tips the corrections officer.
It's so funny.
And Stan thinks Vinny's there to fuck him. Even though he's like wearing jewelry.
Let's make this a simple in and out procedure. Let's get acquainted before we get into it.
Look, you're getting fucked one way or the other.
It's your ass, not mine. Hey, you should be down on your knees, all right? I didn't come down here just to get jerked off. So many good lines. And it keeps going.
Yeah, it's so wonderful. But Vinny, bag of donuts, Bill wakes up and identifies him as his cousin. And Stan's like, wait, what? Oh, shit. But we should have said, we're talking about how good the writing is. It was written by Dale Launer or Launer. I'm seeing he did Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. Not a lot of other stuff that I'm super familiar with, guys. Wow. Just banged it out though this time.
Stepped up to the plate and hit a home run.
Oh, you're going to sports metaphor me in front of my friends?
I'm the shuttlecock and balls of the sports channel on Discord, so.
You are.
Yep.
Everybody calls him Sport Steve.
Yeah.
Sporty Steve.
Sports Ball Steve.
We find out he's never tried murder before. He's never tried any case before. He's never been to trial.
He's never been to trial.
He's a personal injury attorney, and he's only been a lawyer for a few months.
It took him 6 years and six tries to actually pass the bar.
I think you can only, take it once a year.
I guess.
He kept trying.
It's probably one of those, I don't know for sure, but I imagine it's one of those tests you have to pay to take, and it's probably pretty expensive, I would imagine.
Third time's the charm, right? Not for me.
Nah.
Sixth time was the charm.
Hey, at least he got there.
But then Vinny goes to see the judge. And I love this moment where he asks him where he went to college. And he says some not impressive college. And then he looks up and sees the Yale degree. And he's like, oh.
With the Brooklyn Academy of Law.
Is that an accredited university? Yeah. But he lies to him about his experience trying murder cases. You know, I try them all the time.
I love, he's like, you heard of the Son of Sam? You defended the Son of Sam? No, I defended the first guy. And then they got it. They let him go. So win some, you lose some.
You win some, you lose some. But he gives him a book and he says, yeah, I want you to study this. I'm not going to have any tomfoolery in my courtroom. And it's this giant Alabama rule of law textbook. And Vinny goes, justice. Yeah.
Well, apparently that's a joke. And there might be some legal minded scholars that know more than I would. I certainly am not an expert on this, but apparently this joke about the Alabama courtroom procedure thing is a really funny joke to people in law, because Alabama has the largest constitution, like state constitution in the country. And the legal document is probably maybe the largest of one of its kind in the world.
Oh, like, okay.
The Alabama Constitution is 388,882 words. Put into comparison, the United States Constitution is around 40,000 words.
Wow.
Is it
mostly like colloquialisms and
kind of, yeah.
Jibber jabber?
According to this little article I pulled up, its massive length is due in part to its 892 amendments that cover everything from bingo and mosquito control to how to deal with dead farm animals and prostitution.
Why do they put those two things together?
It's Alabama, man. That's Bama for you. Roll Tide.
How much for me to fuck that cow? $30? Deal.
I'll do it for a 40.
You're terrible at negotiating. I already told you 30 was enough.
Sounds like a great time.
I'll pay you 50. That's my final offer. Why has he still got the New York accent? I came down here to fuck a cow. So they sleep in a motel, talking about Vinny and Mona Lisa. They wake up to this giant steam whistle at a factory nearby. They go to a local diner. They ask the diner guy about it. He's like, it's the sawmill steam whistle. You can hear it for miles. Make sure people get up in time for work. The menu says breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Those are the options. And they're so out of sorts. Like, I guess we'll take breakfast, right? You know?
I love that beat where they're just looking and looking at each other, look at the menu. I guess we'll have breakfast.
Yeah, it makes the most sense. And he's like being so nice, you know, like trying to be polite about it.
And he just grabs like a giant just scoop of
lard.
Yeah. And I know in the movie, Vinny and Mona Lisa are like, oh, have you ever heard of the cholesterol problem in this country? The fat ass I am was like, oh, baby.
That is the best meal. If you're like shwasted.
Yeah.
You want one of those. That's what you need. It'll snap you right back.
Now, I will say, and I'm going to ask you this question. Uh-huh. What are your thoughts on grits?
I was going to ask you that.
Really?
I'm new to grits.
Oh, yeah.
Relatively. Okay. I've been eating grits for 10 years now and I'm 35. So I was late to the game for being somebody who's born in Kentucky. When my I was served grits at a place I was at weekly for a while. And I found out you can do butter, salt, pepper. You could do sugar.
Yeah.
You can have sweet grits. Mm-hmm. I like them both.
Okay.
I do like a good, well-made grit now. I hardly ever order them, if I'm being honest. Like if I go to Waffle House, I get the All-Star. I'm not getting grits.
Yeah.
It's not one
of
my.
Why would you?
I don't know. Some browns. People do. I get the hashy browns, extra crispy.
Yeah.
However, I'm a fan. Are you a fan?
Not at all.
Ooh,
I hate grits.
Why? Is it texture?
It's a texture thing.
Have you tried sugar?
Yeah, I've tried them all. It's the texture. I just the way I eat food, I'm very texture based. So if there's like a weird texture I don't like, it's like, nope, not eating that. That's disgusting.
The only reason you're straight.
Yeah, it is. <That's, laughs> if I put a weenie in my mouth, I'm like, nom, nom, nom. And texture's weird.
I don't like it.
That's the sound I make too.
Just yeah. Like, no. Thank you. Good to know. Like I didn't know that.
That's why I call you my sweet grit.
Like, I'm always get the grit. I'm always like, try it with sugar. It's like Mary Poppins said.
Well, if you would eat some pineapple once in a while.
This helps the medicine go down. We lost all six of our listeners. Yeah. So, and I like how Vinny is like, he's got like a grit on his fork.
He's like, trying it a nap.
I'm going to try it. Here I go.
He just keeps asking him more and more about grits to delay the inevitable of him having to eat the
but
grit.
It, as funny as this is, you could have this scene in the script just because it's funny, but it comes back in a big way.
It does. Know?
It's really neat. But they're in the courtroom for the arraignment. I think we meet Jim Trotter, III, the district attorney, the prosecutor, the judge enters, and he just, Vinny fucks everything up, right? You know, rise when addressing the court. What are you wearing?
I love how he's like, Jim Trotter, III. And he's like, Vincent LaGuardia Gambini, I. And he's just mimicking Trotter because he doesn't know what he's doing.
I just realized his middle name is the airport.
Yeah. LaGuardia.
That's how they named him. They love that place.
One thing about I want to say about this movie, about Trotter specifically, like it's so easy. Like a lesser movie would do this where Jim Trotter would be like this villainous attorney, right?
Yeah.
And Trotter's really not. He's just a prosecutor doing his job. He wants to win, obviously, because it's his job. But, you know, he's not like being underhanded or like trying to stop Vinny. Mm-mm. He's not a dick to him, really.
And later on in the movie, I thought, because it would be stereotypical, it would be a trope that he's like you said, manipulating him. When he's like inviting him out to his cabin, like setting him up to fail. He's not. He's like literally like, you could sleep out there. I get some good sleep. And he's like genuinely happy for him when he wins too. He's like, way to go, my guy. I'm zoning out because I actually am realizing where I recognize him from. And I want to.
The guy who plays Trotter?
The guy who plays Trotter. I want to make sure. Because this is going to be really tell you where my TV consumption was. If I'm right about this. I think he was in Lois and Clark, the Superman show with Dean Cain.
With Dean Cain?
You know, it would be faster to look it up on here. Do you not recognize the guy who plays Jim Trotter from something? Or am I crazy?
I honestly don't. Let me pull him up on IMDb to see if he sticks out from anything.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Oh, he was in Red Dawn.
Red Dawn.
He's in the Mighty Ducks. He's Coach Riley.
Mighty Ducks. That might be
it. He's his son-in-law.
No, I mean, he's in a lot of stuff, right? But King of the Hill, he plays Charlie Fortner.
Damn it, Bobby. Yeah, he's in a bunch of stuff.
I did watch a lot of Walker, Texas Ranger. Maybe that's what it was. Apparently, he's not in Lois and Clark. Yes, he is.
Oh, he is.
He plays Perry White.
He's in
87 episodes. You're talking about like how good the character was, and I'm just glazed over like, I'm pretty sure it was Lois and Clark.
Is that Perry White?
The Superman show.
Was Perry?
I watched a lot of USA as a kid.
Perry White is Lois and Clark's boss at the paper,
at the paper, yeah. Okay, he's like the J. Jonah Jameson of Superman's world.
Get me photos of Superman. On my desk by Monday. You're fired.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is weird how many of them are like news reporters. I mean, two, but it's weird to happen twice.
It's weird to happen twice.
So, yeah, he fucks up the arraignment. He doesn't do anything correctly. It's very obvious that he's never been in a trial before. And later it's like played off like, oh, your style is unconventional. That's true.
Now, do they plead guilty or not guilty?
And it's watching this, you're like, just say not guilty, my guy, you know. But he's under the assumption, he's like, I need to get this dismissed. I'm not pleading not guilty. This is so fucking ridiculous that they're even here. Yeah. Right, is what he's trying to say. And the guy's like, shut up and say guilty or not guilty. That's what's going on here. Mm-hmm. But this is a farce. And so he gets charged with contempt. Then he's arrested with a bail of $200. And he rides back to prison with them. And they're Bill and Stan are like, fuck.
They're just staring at him, just, oh man, we're fucked. What do we get ourselves into?
And I love the whole bit that it's like, it's definitely not the first time he's been in jail. So he's just kind of like, hey, what's up, guys?
No big deal for me. Yeah. That's the one place he can get some sleep.
His fiance, soon to be fiance, Mona Lisa, has always taken photos. That's another thing that comes back in a big way for the script.
I love her camera.
You want one of those?
I do. It's awesome. That little square. It looks kind of like a Polaroid, but it's pink. Mm-hmm. It's got the wrist strap.
She's doing good work with it, too.
I know.
That shot of Vinny in the shower. I want that.
Yeah.
I want that.
I pause to see if you can see his ding dong through the curtain?
Did you?
I did. You Could can't. You? He's wearing shorts.
Who does that? Is that a shower in Bama?
I wanted to see Joe's Pesci.
He gets one. She gets a shot of him exiting jail. And she's like pulling no punches about that. Like, if you screw up, you're going to get those boys fried, you know? So he's never learned. I just never knew the procedure. Now I know,
No. When you're in the garage, you learn how to do a carburetor and then you learn by mistake. Yeah. And that's what happened to you.
Cars don't have carburetors anymore, Steve. Did you know that?
No.
Yep. Fuel injection systems now.
I know nothing about cars.
I know they don't have carburetors.
One of my least favorite things to do in life is to go get my car fixed at an auto shop.
Because they can get you.
Because literally they can walk out and be like, yeah, it was your flux capacitor was fueling Skittles into the injection port. It was only 2 meters wide. Maybe if you replace the Hostess sweet zebra cake in it, it'll fix it right up. And I'm like, sounds great. How much would that cost?
It'll probably take about 12 parsecs.
Yeah, at least $12,000 we're looking at. But I can knock it down to $4,000 for you. Oh, wow, that sounds like a deal. Thank you. I'll do that. Yes, yeah, sounds great.
Mm-hmm. Appreciate you.
Appreciate you so much.
Thanks for looking out for me. This episode was sponsored by BetterHelp. Folks, it's 2024. What does everybody do in the new year? They make resolutions. They set goals. How about we don't do that? I mean, you can. It's obviously nice to have goals, but it's also a good exercise to focus on things that you like about yourself. You know, not making all those high pressure goals that you might fail at and just feel worse. You can set smaller goals. And I think therapy can be a good way to access things that you enjoy about your life and focusing on the positive, the gratitude. And BetterHelp is a good way to do that. If you've never given BetterHelp a try, it's therapy that's entirely online. You can do it all from your home and access a therapist by filling out a questionnaire. And if you end up not liking that therapist, you can switch. Again, along with the theme of this ad, no pressure whatsoever. They're not going to have their feelings hurt by it. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. Celebrate the progress you've already made. Visit BetterHelp.com/streamingthings today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/streamingthings.
It's the month of February, so you know what time it is. It's time to thank our patrons. Every single one of you that helps keep the lights on at Streaming Things, thank you so much. But we want to give a special shout out to our super patrons, and here they are. Thank you to Stanton Valentino, Mattelstat, Bryce Coppin, Susie Callahan, Anthony Corona, Sunshine, Huckleberry Cauliflower, Ashley Hazen, Mike from New Hampshire, Brett X, Emily Scarano, Will Tickler, Svento 007, Jay Scramo, Bluff Pump, AK Ashley Ray, Wendy O'Loughlin, Jason Hawkins, Big Butthorn, Conrad, Kaylee Sampson, Rabid Dog in a Barbie Car, Charlie Friday, Alexis Adler, Peaches, Emmy, Haley B, Joe Velez, Michelle, John Collins, Amber McVeigh, Amanda King, Trisha Bueller, Sun Loving Mortal, Suzanne Rode, Lauren Waller, Jen Robinson, Kalisha Reeves, Aaron Armstrong, Kevin Strother, Ashley Powers, Stephen V, Casey McCain, and of course, Enza. And with that, let's get back to the show.
So we learned that she works at her father's garage, but also so did he. So he knows like a fair amount about cars as well. That's where he's been working nights and working at the garage to afford law school. And she's like, how can I help? And he's like, just keep bailing me out.
But she got stiff. She's not going to be able to keep bailing him out.
No. He's like, wait, what? So he goes to this like honky tonk bar. She's apparently very good at pool and like hustled these dudes, right? Or made a fair bet. Let's say that. And
yeah.
Just wasn't paid. Dude ate that fried chicken vertically. Have you ever seen that?
Dude, that was sick.
That seems like something Andy does when he eats fried chicken.
Oh, probably. He ate that chicken like cartoons eat fish. Like they just.
Yeah. That's true. And it's real. That's practical chicken.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
How many takes do you think they had to do? How many whole chicken legs did that guy have to eat?
Well, he probably spat it out after.
You think did spit cut. Takes? I don't think so. That's I think he lives locally and he's like, I got a skill you might be able to use.
Well, you mean to tell me all you need me to do is sit here in this chair and I get to have all the chicken I want until we're done? Boy, you don't even need to pay me. I'll show up there for free.
No, for free.
You want to use my car in the wide shops? You can do that. I don't even. Yeah, I'll do that for free.
They're scouting this Forrest Gump movie nearby. I hope I'm in that.
My problem is I can't run very fast, and that seems to be a big part of the character.
I'm not going to get the lead role. Just maybe one of the people that makes fun of him on the bus.
Sleet's taken.
I've been practicing all day. Dude eats that fried chicken like a beast. And then this is when Vinny meets JT. And he outsmarts him. The whole bit here is that JT is a fucking idiot, and Vinny is not. But also, it's really interesting watching this movie, especially if you picture being our age now at the time. Like, again, he just won an Oscar for Goodfellas. So your idea of who Joe Pesci is somebody who will stab you in the fucking neck to death with a pen.
Yeah.
And you get this. So when he's like having this confrontation, you're kind of like, ooh, what's going to happen? You know, you're assuming he can fight, you know, and Vinny's just like, I could use a good ass kicking. I really could. But I also love that he keeps pausing to ask that guy personal injury questions because that's kind of lower. Yeah. Here is, did you fall at your house or in public?
Useless to me.
Yeah.
The guy who plays JT is Chris Ellis. He's another actor that's literally in fucking everything in smaller roles. Like he's in Armageddon, The Island, Transformers, Apollo 13. Is it a Michael Bay movie?
Michael Bay stuff.
Yeah. He's usually dude in NASA going like, oh, yep, they're doing a thing that's really bad and intense. Maybe they should do a different thing. Cut to the stars.
You know, I've been craving a rewatch of Armageddon a lot recently.
Yeah?
As an aside. Yeah, it's just something I've been
thinking. You don't want to close your eyes? You don't want to fall asleep?
I miss you, baby.
Mm-hmm. And I don't want to miss a thing.
That's true.
It's a great song.
Ning da ling da lai. I'm going to say that the whole time.
Her dad wrote that.
Yeah, he did. Ning da ling da lai. I think it was J.R. Tolkien. Yeah. But anyway, so he outsmarts him. He says, look, we're not going to fight till you actually have the money. And then he leaves.
I love how he tricks the guy into wanting to get the money. Like just the way they have this conversation. He really just tricks him. Oh, wait, oh, I'll get the $200. Yeah. I'll get it. it's really impressive.
Yeah. He's outsmarted him every way. Stan wants to fire Vinny as his attorney, but Bill says he can't fire him. He's family. And then he talks about how he's going to be able to pull through because you have no idea how good of an arguer everybody in my family is. And I love that that's the inspiration for why he became a lawyer because, you know, I'm kind of that way as a person. But also, like, I can just imagine. And it's played out in the way that Vinny and Mona Lisa interact as well.
Yeah.
But he's like, your parents are amateur arguers compared to the Gambinis, right? We cut to, and then to exhibit that, we cut to Vinny hearing the drip in the sink.
Is that a drip by here?
Yeah.
Were you the last one to use it?
She says it's broken.
It's broken.
The maximum allowable torqueage dead on balls accurate.
Is that an industry term?
It is.
Mm-hmm. I guess, fuck me, I guess the thing is broken.
And she convinces him, right? Mm-hmm. And then they wake up to the steam whistle again. The witnesses, we cut to the more of the pre-trial. There's witnesses identifying the boys. No cross-examination whatsoever, but on Vinny's part. He's just not interested in that. He doesn't even have any idea about that. And then the judge at the end of all this asks Vinny, why didn't you change your clothes like I asked you to? And he said, you were serious about that? And then he's back in jail. Back to getting bailed out. There's another procedure question, right? They decide to move motels. He tries reading the Alabama law book. It's not really his thing. Super boring, as I can imagine. And then she tells him, or he tells her, I'm really scared. You know, it's this really cool, vulnerable moment. Mm-hmm. And then she encourages him. Like, she's there to support him in that moment, even though she was giving him hell earlier. Like, when it really matters, you can tell that she's there for him in every conceivable way.
Yeah.
And then she's like, if you don't fuck it up, you know, but also like with color, you know,
this shot gave me some pause, right? Mm-hmm. Cause he says, you know, she goes, if you don't fuck it up. Right. And the camera kind of pans over to the clock. Did you see what time it was? Mm-mm. It was 3. Is that AM?
Oh yeah.
My God.
Who's staying up late trying to study.
The pigs are going to wake them up at 5.
Oh yeah. He's barely getting any sleep.
No.
So these he wakes up to roosters and pigs. Every hotel or motel he goes to is a nightmare with early morning noises. And then the boys, we cut to them, Bill and Stan are discussing if it's a conspiracy. Everybody in town wants them to go to prison just because they're from New York, kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
So they decide maybe we need to switch to a public defender. And while they're talking about this, they walk by death row. And the guy, it seems like he's fucking with him. But again, I think you're supposed to play it straight. Like, you're supposed to understand that this guy's just a goober. And he's talking about how the chair's been broke. You know, his hair caught on fire. We had to turn it on 3 times, you know?
Yeah. We just don't have the funding to get it fixed.
It's like, did you take it that he was just fucking with him mentally, or that it's Alabama and he's like, just honest, like the chair's broke?
I took it more as it's Alabama and the chair's broke. Okay. And he's like, you guys seem like you have an honest inquiry.
Yeah, sure. And I'm going to answer it. I respect that. I like questioning folks and Utes when they do that.
And the Utes, yeah.
John Gibbons, the public defender, shows up and tells Vinny and Stan, and they tell Vinny that they're going with the public defender. And he is too. That's what Bill says. And then he gives him his little playing cards, bricks metaphor. And I love also that he's the type of guy to just carry a deck of cards in his pocket.
Yeah.
You never know when you need to throw down.
No.
Maybe some solitaire at best, like at worst.
I like to imagine the scene wrapped up with his metaphor, and goes like, why are we here? Rummy?
Yeah, a little bit of rummy. I got $30. And that convinces Bill, at least, not Stan, but it convinces him. So he goes back and tells Stan he's still going to use him. He says he's the quintessential Gambini. And then the electricity flickers.
Oh, there goes the quintessential Norton.
As they're using the chair.
They fried that guy.
And his antivirus software hadn't even taken off yet.
That's the real tragedy in this story.
Mm-hmm. But now JT says he's got the $200, but it's a bunch of ones with a 20 wrapped around it. Fan it out. Let me see. Fan it out.
This scene is hilarious in the way they block it, because Vinny's across the street. JT's across the street. Hey, I got this wad of money. He's like, bring it in.
Yeah.
Hey, bring it in. Let me see it. Fan it out. And he just, I don't want to.
Yeah. No.
And he just walks away from him, like, I ain't got no time for you.
And he's so dumb, he doesn't realize he could just beat his ass if he wanted to.
Right.
No, I need the 200, or he won't let me beat his ass. Their new hotel is by a train. And there's this, it's wonderful scene because they're taking it so well. Mona Lisa especially, she's dying laughing. Like, this is fucking great.
Yeah,
so miserable.
Of course this is happening.
And the guy, the hotel owner says, it's not every day at 5 o'clock. Absolutely not, sir. That'd be ridiculous. He's like, oh, okay.
It's very unusual that it arrived at 5 a.m. this morning.
Yeah. So Trotter is having a moment with Vinny, and he says his conscience made him a prosecutor because he was tired of getting people who he knew were guilty off scot-free. And then Vinny tells him about how he became a lawyer, which he was on trial. And Judge Malloy was so impressed. It was for parking tickets or something, I think. But it was so impressed that he got himself off in the way in which he did it that he told him he should be a lawyer. And Judge Malloy is a very good friend of hers. Another thing that comes back later.
Yeah.
Dude, It's a good script.
And another thing that comes back later, Jim says he feels pretty good about the case, but he wish he had the murder weapon.
Ooh.
Where's that murder weapon?
The literal smoking gun.
Law.
And order. Dun, dun.
Dun, dun.
So, so he goes out hunting with the prosecutor. He's got nothing to wear. He's telling Mona Lisa that, you know, you think these pants would look stupid in the woods?
Imagine your baby deer, a beautiful baby deer, putting your little sweet baby deer nose in a brook, getting a little splash of water. Bam, you're dead. Do you give a shit about what the SOB who shot you his pants look like?
No, you're right.
Love that.
Fucking liberals. Am I right, Steve?
Bleeding hearts. I hate them.
And Gambini's... Gambini comes back and he's got all of the files, because that's what his big plan was, to get close to the Trotter and get his files for the trial. He's so pleased. He's got copies of all of it. And he's like, see, I was finessing him the whole time. I barely even got to finessing and I got it. And meanwhile, Mona Lisa has been reading the Alabama law book the entire time. And she's like, oh, did you finesse him? Did you finesse him? He had to give it all to you.
That's procedure.
It's called disclosure.
I love that shot where he's like, because he's talking about, I'm going to finesse the guy. I'm going to go out there. I'm going to work him. And it cuts to him going like, I really would like to take a look at your file.
And he's like, yeah, I'll give them to you.
And then when he says, when Trotter agrees, his face is like,
oh, shit.
Did I do this?
Just crushed it. Disclosure. It's the law. Yeah. And so then he goes to question the witnesses. He's doing his part of the work, right? The train comes through again. Now it's 10 after 4. He goes down to the hotel operator. He's like, hey, man, I thought you told me it doesn't come every day at 5 a.m. He's like, it doesn't. It's usually here around 4. That was weird.
Came late.
That's funny. So he ends up questioning the jury. They're selecting jurors is what's going on. And Trotter chooses the most
pro death penalty woman.
Yeah.
I say fry him.
She'll do.
I don't think she would get through in a jury, like a real jury duty.
No, I don't think she would get through society very long.
No.
That lady.
I would hope not.
Well, there's a lot of ladies like that at like the grocery store I found.
Fry them, but they're talking about bacon.
Yeah. No, they're not, but they're just wandering around free. Gambini goes to see the judge while he's playing chess with himself. And we get the whole Jerry Gallo thing, right? He says, oh, my real name is Jerry Gallo. That's why you can't find any of my cases that I've tried under my Gambini name. And then he knocks his chessboard over. The judge fucking hates him. It's not looking good. But then we get the funny bit where Mona Lisa's like, Jerry Gallo's name's been all over the papers. He's like, I know, it's a good one to use. And he's like, he died. That's why he was in the paper.
Oh.
So we got a limited amount of time until the old judge finds out that he lied again. But they're out at the old hunting cabin, which was gifted to them by Trotter. She's nervous. You know, you're screwing up and I can't help. She just wants to help. And he is screwing up pretty bad. And we find out that he promised to marry her after he wins his first case. That was 10 years ago. Because remember, 4 years of law school and then six years of trying to pass the bar.
Yep.
Good script. I did the math.
I mean,
it took me hours, but it checked out.
The fact that she stuck around through all 10 years based off that promise is, you know, impressive.
Yeah. Back when he was only 40.
And, and she was 17.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. But then they're trying to sleep and now there's just animal screeches and craziness outside. And by the way,
Go ahead.
I'm just saying I'm like this. I grew up in.
You screech like an owl?
Yeah. While I'm sleeping. I grew up with train tracks behind me, police sirens all the time, like, you know, in the downtown Covington area. And when I lived for those years at the log cabin, I was like, what the fuck? Like, it was just kind of miserable.
It's too quiet.
Crickets are crazy sounding. It's not like in the movies, like, tiki, tiki, tiki. Like when they're,
it's a
cacophony.
Yeah.
And bullfrogs, they don't ribbit, Steve. No, they go. Burr. Burr. I remember the first.
I was not expecting that aggressive of a sound to come out of your voice.
I didn't expect it to come out of theirs. I walked upstairs like, what the fuck is that? She's like, those are frogs. I'm like, no. Frogs go ribbit, ribbit. What is that? That is scary. And then there's occasionally
it's the bull part of the frog.
There's occasionally coyotes. Have you ever heard a coyote?
Mm. Yeah.
They sound like women screaming.
Yeah.
Which is fun. That's fun.
Or raccoons fighting. That's a fun noise.
Anyway, too. Hated it. I was like, what the fuck, dude? So anywho, I understand why he's like, all right, what's going on? We need to go.
The filmmaker in me. So there's that shot of the owl and then he comes busting out and just starts shooting. And then the owl just kind of looks over at him and then just looks back. The filmmaker in me was like, how the fuck did they do that shot? Like with a live animal.
Was
that
a split diopter too? Were they both in focus? That's not as important.
I think it might have been. I'd have to go back and look. But I was just so impressed. Like, what happened? And I had to know. Like, is this two shots composited on each other? What is the case? They did this in one take. They just had an owl that had been trained in movies before. They would hold up meat at it to get it to open its mouth. So, and then they would put the screeching in later. Mm. So they were just like, meat?
And he just was uninterested in the guns.
And so when the guns goes off, he just kind of looks over and is like, whatever. and Jonathan Lynn, apparently on the DVD commentary, he is quoted as saying, we got amazingly lucky with that screech owl.
For sure.
Apparently they were like, all right, this is going to take all day. It's a live animal. You can't really direct. Oh, he nailed it.
Yeah.
Shit. All right.
That's awesome.
I know.
That's kind of shit that never happens to us when we're making stuff with humans.
No. Yeah, seriously. We just got to train humans to like open their mouths when we hold meat up at them.
That's all you got to do. Get me a couple hot dogs. Yeah, great shot. Great shot. So they end up sleeping in the car. It's raining. She tries to sleep with him. I don't know if he's just tired though, right?
Yeah.
He's a sleepy boy. Wakes up.
I don't see no stars.
He's stuck in the mud. He slips. Ends up throwing his suit in the mud. What was in the blue bag?
That's your suit. I had it dry cleaned as a surprise.
I thought it'd be nice. Mm. So now his suit's covered in mud. But also it's important to know this is where he gets, or where maybe they already know this because they work on cars so much, but it's where the audience is able to see that only one tire is spinning because there's no positive traction. Steve.
No positive traction.
That's right. I just thought it was nice. It's really like the script is just fucking toit. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So any hoozle, he ends up missing some of the opening remarks and stuff. He's a little bit late.
He punches JT.
Does get his money back.
Hey, City Slicker got your punch because he doesn't have time to deal with him. Like, he takes the money.
He's only got like 7 minutes to shower, get a new suit, all kinds of stuff.
The dry cleaning's closed, so she has to go to a secondhand store to get a suit for him.
Yeah. No, it's not the dry cleaner's closed. It's like the suit shop, right?
Oh, is it? Okay.
The main suit shop.
I think you're right.
Because they got the flu. And Vinny is the whole store. Small town flu. Pissed about this. Believe it or not, the store got the flu. Because like where he's from, the fuck?
Yeah.
Somebody else works there. Like this is, you know, I get it.
The whole store got the flu.
So he's wearing this ridiculous like purple suit.
Looks like a magician.
Yeah, he's got like, what are those called? Like the tails? Well,
yeah, tails, yeah.
Eh, whatever. He's got the
coattails.
That kind of suit. So the prosecutor does his opening remarks.
Are you on drugs?
Vinny falls asleep. Jesus Christ, right? Yeah, are you on drugs? I did this for you.
I love how Trotter is the classic Southern lawyer. The way like he's like, now, ladies and gentlemen of the jury. What you'll see here is a murder. Like
oh, when he does that, like.
Like the hand movement.
In cold blood.
Yeah. Like all he's missing is most of America kerchief to dab his forehead sweat with.
Most of America would love to vote for him.
Yeah.
He would crush on a campaign. Just his whole demeanor is just so what they're used to. Oh, I love it. Are you a Bush?
I did laugh when he said like, now
watch this drive.
These boys are convicted of a high anus crime.
Mm-hmm.
Emphasis on the anus.
An anus that's high up.
Just the way he said heinous really amused me. High anus.
A high anus crime. Everything this guy just said is bullshit. Thank you. That's Vinny's opening remarks.
And then the judge is like, have his entire opening remarks except for thank you stricken.
So on the records, he just stands up and says, thank you.
The pettiness of leaving just thank you is so funny to me.
And then the public defender gets up because he's representing Stan. And it turns out he's got a pretty bad stutter. Mm-hmm. And Stan is just like, I cannot win around here. So he does his whole thing.
Now, it seems his stutter is nerves induced because he didn't have a stutter up to this
correct.
Point, right? Okay.
Correct. The public defender shows.
Sorry, I keep interrupting you. But when John Gibbons goes up, he does his thing and then he sits down. He's like, I was a little nervous. And Stan's like, yeah. You think? And he goes, I'm getting better.
Yeah. Like, don't be a dick.
The way he says it, like, I'm getting better, is if like, Stan doesn't know that.
Yeah. Well, it's not only that, but it's like, he's offended that Stan's being impatient, even though Stan's going to die,
yeah.
You know? And he's
yeah.
like, don't be a dick, don't dude. Be a dick, dude. I'm here doing my best.
I've got a speech impediment, man. Don't be an asshole.
But the public defender inadvertently shows how good the witness's eyesight is. And then we get the two Utes thing. That whole bit comes up between the judge and Vinny. And interrupt whenever you want, as you know. I'm just going through the plot here.
Apparently the Utes joke wasn't in the original script. It was that based on a real life
way that Pesci pronounced it.
Yeah, it was an interaction that Pesci and Jonathan had together. Like, I guess Jonathan, the director. Oh, the director. I guess he's British. And so they were talking and he was just like, what are you saying? And they thought it was so funny. They just added this little bit in there.
I say, mm-hmm. For some reason, the director now sounds like C-3PO in my mind.
Row action.
I specialize in human Jersey relations. That's funny. We get the whole grits bit, which is really good. He's talking about, you know, his big defense is that one of the main witnesses says that he was cooking grits and then maybe 3 or 4 minutes later was outside to accurately witness the boys leaving the gas station. And he now knows because of his interaction at the diner that a proper batch of grits takes 20 minutes mm-hmm. minimum of steeping in that boiling water.
And no self-respecting Southerner cooks instant grits. Mm-mm.
And yeah. I love how the dude on the jury is like, fuck yeah, truth.
Hell yeah.
You know, like you can see one of them nodding. And then when he's done, he proves his point. And I got no use for this guy. And then somebody claps in the back. Yeah. This time he wants to stay in prison because he gets contempt again to get some sleep. And there's like a riot going on in there, but he's still sleeping like a baby.
Yep.
And I like I said, I understand that. Like what is crazy noises to some people is comfort sounds to others. Mm-hmm. Whenever you'll find this out soon when we go to South by Southwest, but I can't sleep well in hotels because I like white noise and I have like a really loud fan right by my head in my bedroom. So I use like rain noises and stuff.
Didn't you do that when we went to LA?
I usually do. I can't sleep without like thunder claps.
I throw on pink noise when I need help
sleeping. What's that mean? Is it just sex?
It's oh yeah. I'm like, sleeping like a baby. No, it's like
I'm always used to sleeping near people getting laid.
Yeah, it's
my, never me, but
I find it comforting. Like, they're having fun. No, pink noise is like it's like white noise, but it's more pleasant because you know how white noise can be like that.
Yeah, like TV stuff.
It's more like an oscillating. It sounds more like an air conditioner kind of like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I could dig with that. I need something is all I'm saying. I can't have room tone or I'd lose my mind. By the way, when I was trying to send you that college humor video of Batman, who thinks people that are dead are sleeping. Did you end up watching that?
No.
Dude, check it out. But when I Googled that for you, I accidentally got like 12 hours of Batman noises to sleep to.
So what are the noises?
I don't know. I didn't watch it, but somebody out there.
Justice. I'm Batman.
I don't know.
I'm Batman.
They like to sleep to that. I was like, how is this what came up? Because I just went Batman sleep.
Now we need. Hold on. I kind of want to find out what that is.
Do you want to watch it now?
Let's do it. I'm like.
So curious.
I'm so curious. What was it?
Batman sleep is all I typed.
Batman sleep.
Because I was like, surely this popular YouTube video will pop up first. No.
Batman sleep ambiance. Is it that?
Yeah, that's ones. Those are the ones that came up.
10 hours of soothing Batman vibes.
Yes. I was like, what is this? And I didn't even click it.
Oh, here we go. Oh, is it just like moody Batman synthy sounds.
I'm trying to picture if I could sleep to this. So far, I guess.
Huh. Interesting. I love how the people in, you can't see this, but it's the image that they use in the video is Batman sitting in like a Game of Thrones throne with candles and stuff.
They love it, dude.
Interesting.
Okay. They probably got a cardboard cutout leering over them to help them feel protected.
I'll be honest with you. I wish it was, instead of music, it was just Batman.
Justice.
The Joker. Harley Quinn's escaped.
There's a part in that.
God damn it, it's the Condiment King.
There's a part in that video where you didn't watch yet, where the guy, it's Patton Oswalt playing the Penguin. And he goes,
oh, amazing.
He goes, what are you wearing right there? He's trying to prove a point. And then the guy just goes, not hockey pads. And dude, we're going to watch that after this. But anyway, where are we at? Fuck.
Yeah, he shows the guy, like, there's that dude who lives in the trailer or something, but he has, like, dirt on his windows, and there's a screen, and there's a tree, and there's bushes. He's sort of saying, like, he can't see.
And he uses many of the photos that Mona Lisa has been taking.
Yep.
And, yeah, so to prove that he has no good angle to view what he's claiming he viewed, right? And then...
I love when he's examining that guy, because, like, how many bushes you think are there? And the guy waits for a second.
He's like, clearly counting slowly. Yeah,
shout him out when you know.
No, not five. I counted. It's, you know, one, two,
what three. About, oh, don't forget those two guys there.
Yeah. So he takes a long, but it's good because there's like some theater. I text my buddy who's a lawyer when I was watching Daredevil one time. And I was like, dude, I want to be a lawyer. He was like, it's hardly ever like that. 99% of the job is like mind numbing paperwork. And then there's like a little bit of theater. Like you don't do a lot of trials. That's usually when you fail is when there's a trial.
Yeah.
But like that, the theater part that you see in movies looks fun because I like attention. I'm theatrical. Mm-hmm. And so it's not just saying evidence because people are dumb. They don't appreciate evidence. It's putting on the show that they'll buy into your evidence. And Vinny's good at this part. That's what the whole point of him walking through the charade of the bushes is. It's like you're leading to your point rather than just saying he couldn't see because there's bushes and trees there. That wouldn't have any effect. But the way that he does it is profoundly affecting, you know?
Yeah.
The next lady who thinks she has good eyesight, even though she's got those Coke bottle glasses on, he does the whole... And then even like measures out with the tape measure all the way to the back of the room, you know, the two fingers thing. The judge, note to the, whatever he fucking says, you know, note it down. He's holding up two fingers. Judge, please. Oh, sorry.
Now for the witness or for the witness and only the witness, how many fingers am I holding up?
The Trotter is actually starting to lose this case and says that he's got new evidence to show tomorrow and that, Finney's not going to like, right? And it turns out it's the FBI automotive forensics guy.
It's James Rebhorn, baby.
Yeah, he's from...
he's in Independence Day.
Independence Day.
Yeah, he's like...
I feel like a Billy Madison movie. Or not a Billy... a Happy Madison production of some kind.
Oh, he for sure. He's in a ton of stuff. Like this period of the 90s, he was like in everything. The Talented Mr. Ripley, The Game. Mm-hmm. He's in so much stuff. Sadly, no longer with us. R.I.P.
R.I.P. And at this point, this is where Vinny actually objects in a very cogent, logical, and reasoned way, but it's still overruled by the judge. But he's been reading his Alabama law stuff. He's getting better and better. And identical. But this is where he says that the tires are the same. And every bit of, and it seems like damning evidence against Bill and Stan. Right? But
yeah, the tires used in the robbery or murder and their tires are identical, is what he's saying.
Yep. Yeah. And the judge gets a piece of paper and wants to talk to Gambini. It's when he.
You're a dead man.
Oh, you thought I said Gallo.
Oh, no, Gallo with a C.
Yeah. And then at this point, he's like, I'm going to settle this right now. He calls the district attorney's office in New York and says the clerk's going to call back after 3 p.m. unless you win. And he knows that he's been lying to him, right? He's not stupid. He graduated from Yale. So he's like, look, unless you win this case in the next 90 minutes, you're fucked. So then Vinny.
Oh, no. Oh, no. What's this?
I just. You got to keep in mind, I watch these movies late at night and stuff. You can take this out, but my note is Vinny and sexy perfect woman at lunch.
I think we can leave that in. I don't see anything untrue you've said.
Why do I just do that though? Any hoozle. They're out at lunch and he ends up heckling her. He's a dick over the pictures. Like, he's stressed. Now at this point, he's been told, like, you're going to go to jail as well in like an hour and a half. And is also, his nephew's probably going to be sentenced to death. So he's under a lot of pressure. It's true, but he's so rude to her, right? Like, yeah. She just wants to help. And then he gives her so much shit over the, oh, you want me to look at the pictures? Oh, here's me in the shower. That's so fucking helpful.
Oh, look at this photo. This dog shit. It's dog shit.
So she leaves, right? And then there's a discussion about how popular the tire that the FBI witness was saying. He's like, everybody has this fucking tire. What does that even mean? Right. And then Gambini notices something on the photos he was making fun of about the tire tread, and says that he needs another witness. Right. And he runs over to the sheriff and says, please trace this. The sheriff, again, who's against trope, actually wants to do his job. He just thinks these boys did it. So he's like, okay, I'll go do this for you. He just wants the real killer. I thought that was a nice twist too.
I agree. Yeah. It's nice that there's not like a
cabal of hillbillies that want, you know.
Let's get these city boys and fuck with them.
They're just mad Jimmy Willis got murdered.
Yeah.
And all evidence seems to point to the boys. So he needs Lisa to go in. She's in there on the phone. I presume she was talking to Judge Malloy, right? Did you get that?
Oh, you know, I didn't think about that, but
I thought about it later.
Right.
She's acting so mad at him, but she's still actively helping him in that moment. Yeah. She had to have called Judge Malloy at some point.
Right.
Went after the fight. So it must have been right then.
Yeah, maybe.
So he needs the phone and tell me why. So he ends up carrying her into the court. And they're having this couple spat in the middle of this. The bailiff has to escort her as a witness. And she won't even look at him to answer his question when she's on the witness stand. It's really funny. Go ahead. Voir dire the witness.
Your Honor, I would like to voir dire the witness. That's such a cool.
What does that stand for? Can Enza tell us?
Maybe.
She probably shuddered when she heard the French. Like, I didn't know there was French in this movie.
I'm going to look up voir dire meaning. What does voir dire literally mean? It's French for speak the truth.
I want to speak the truth to girl.
I want to speak truth to lady. Your Honor, please.
So she tells him her she's an out-of-work hairdresser. And he's like, oh, okay, that makes sense. What the fuck?
What are you doing here? Why are you an expert witness on cars?
My father was a mechanic. My father's father was a mechanic. My three brothers are mechanics. My uncle's a mechanic. My grandpa was a mechanic. My sister is married to a mechanic who owns his own shop. I read Popular Mechanics magazine. I read the book about J. Robert Oppenheimer, which talks about the mechanics of the building, the bomb.
I also drive a car. I'm just listing out all my credentials.
That's true. I've seen Armageddon a bunch of times, which is about a bunch of mechanics, basically, who go to... I mean, they drill things, but...
It was easier to teach drillers how to be astronauts than astronauts to be drillers.
I've seen Fast and Furious 1 through 7 47 times.
Including Tokyo Drift.
That's right.
Oh, I forgot about that.
That's two.
Ooh.
So she is well qualified. I love the reveal about how it's a trick question, Your Honor. Because the 1967 Buick Skylark, whatever, you know, it's great. Yeah, she fucking crushes it.
She smokes him.
So what does my next note even mean?
She looks at the photograph that Vinny shows her and she realizes that those marks were made by a 1963 Pontiac Tempest.
And she says, the defense is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody's like, oh, I got to hear this. And the judge says, so would I. Like, he's fucking in now. Like, ooh, this is tea.
he didn't know he was getting a show this morning. He's all in.
So she talks about how the tread is, they're both straight, even though it goes over a curb. And it should have been angled on the curb because that car, the car that the boys drove, did not have pause traction. Where there's an independent, and I actually understood it this time, but as a kid, I was like, sure. But as an adult, I'm like, oh, the wheels.
I was very much kid, Chris.
So what it means is the wheels are independent nowadays. And so the left wheel can raise and stay flat, and the right wheel can stay flat underneath it.
Okay.
But back then, the car that they were driving would have been diagonal. And so the left tread would have just been like half of a tread, because of the whole tire would not have hit it, because they're not independent. They have to go together. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That wasn't invented yet in the Buick Skylark. And so she's like, oh, shit. Right. So they recall George Wilbur, the FBI guy. And then they call Sheriff Farley to the stand, the work that he sent him out to do during this recess. And they did find two other guys driving the Pontiac
Tempest
arrested with the fucking gun that was used in the murder a couple towns over. That's the literal smoking gun. They dismiss all charges. Woo!
Woo!
But Vinny can't celebrate. He's worried he's about to be arrested at any moment. He needs to leave. And the sheriff congratulates him. Everybody's coming up to him.
Everyone loves him.
The judge comes running out with the facts. And he's like, oh, fuck, here we go. But no, he says,
you were one hell of a trial lawyer, man.
Oh, my goodness.
Win some, lose some, boy.
So Judge Malloy had faxed like all these fake cases that he'd done incredible work in, thanks to, yet again, Marissa Tomei. Mm-hmm. We owe it all to her. And then he says, I love this. One of the best parts of the movie, they're driving away. The credits are about to come up. And he's like, so we can get married now. And she's like, no, we need a wedding. We can just do it like that. And he's like, you're always telling me to be spontaneous. And she's like, I'm not marrying you. You can't even win a case by yourself. You're fucking useless. And
a burp is spontaneous. A burp is not romantic.
It's such a good
argument. You're fucking useless.
I love it so much.
They're perfect.
And that's the end. I love this movie passionately. I think it's almost perfect movie. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for making us covering it on the pod. And
yeah, thank you to Sunshine, who nominated
Sunshine. My cousin Vinny.
Much like a sunrise or a sunset. I don't know. I can't tell the difference between them. Sunshine came in and gave us a brand new day to live in under the light of having seen My Cousin Vinny.
Sunshine's a movie I would like to cover on the pod. I fucking love that movie.
That would be a fun movie to cover on the pod.
It's a brilliant picture, moving picture that not enough people talk about. But My Cousin Vinny is as well. Thank you to all of you who joined us for this. We've got to go return some videotapes. That's all we got time for right now. My name is Kit.
And I'm Steve.
And this was Streaming Things. Happy streaming.